Welcome to the Real Truth Matters podcast. I'm Dan Harder, your host. The RTM podcast is all about showing you how to live in biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect. And now, here's Real Truth Matters founder and director, Michael Durham.
Welcome to today's podcast. We begin a new topic, the assurance of salvation. Many Christians struggle with assurance temporarily, but some struggle off and on for years, and others struggle their whole Christian lives. If you've not struggled with your assurance, I can dare say you know someone who does. Assurance is inextricably linked to faith. I'll have an entire podcast to show the relationship between the two, but today I want to talk to you about fighting the good fight of faith. When I say there are things faith must fight for, I don't mean for you to understand faith as something separate from you and that you need not exercise it. No, faith is a gift given to us by God, but you must exercise it. It's your faith. In other words, it is you trusting, depending on, and believing God. Faith doesn't fight while you watch, waiting for the victory. On the other side of the fence, without faith, you will not fight. Unless you believe what God has said, you'll have no cause to fight for. Rather than the shield of faith extinguishing the fiery darts will extinguish your faith, and you will not trust God. Your victory comes by using faith against each attack on your mind to doubt God. The Apostle John says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Faith leads us to victory if and only we use it in the battle. Some people's faith is in their faith, and they never utilize it. They are content to have faith, and that's enough. Well, it's not enough. Is it enough for the soldier to have a weapon and no ammunition? Is it enough to even have the weapon loaded with ammunition? It isn't enough unless he takes aim and pulls the trigger. He must fire on the enemy. Our faith must never be left as a sword in the scabbard. The front on which assurance is gained and which we must continually battle to maintain belief is the doctrine of justification. For some of you, this seems to be no battle at all because you truly believe that the salvation God gives is irrevocable. So you remain confident in your justification. However, there are others of you who, for whatever reason, have your confidence shaken from time to time. Assurance is toppled, and you're left with doubt and anxiety. To fully understand your justification, we must first delve into its intricate facets. At its core, salvation transcends a mere transaction of forgiveness. It's a process that aims to align humanity with God's perfection. The doctrine of justification reveals that individuals are declared righteous by God through the redemptive and substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not a mere theological concept. Oh, no, it's a testament to God's relentless love and mercy. The redemptive act unfolds as a divine rescue mission orchestrated by a compassionate Creator who, in the face of human rebellion, initiates a plan to reconcile His wayward children. The pivotal moment in this narrative is the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on the cross, where sin's debt is paid in full. Look at God's justice and mercy colliding to provide a way for sinners to be justified. The cross becomes the symbol of divine intervention where Christ, sinless and blameless, willingly takes upon himself the sins of his people. This act of substitutionary atonement demonstrates God's commitment to rescuing humanity from the grip of sin and its eternal consequences. And he does so without compromising his divine justice. Beyond the legal implications of justification, salvation carries with it the reality of restored fellowship with God. It's not merely an acquittal from guilt. It's an invitation to communion with the Creator. In the Garden of Eden, sin severed the harmonious relationship between God and humanity. and introduced a chasm that only divine love could bridge. Salvation, then, is the bridge that spans this chasm, inviting sinners back into the embrace of their Heavenly Father. It's a divine reunion where the estranged and broken find healing and restoration in the boundless grace of God. The Apostle Paul eloquently captures this sentiment in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, stating that God reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The restoration and fellowship with God is not an abstract concept, but a tangible reality that transforms lives. It's an invitation to walk with God in the cool of the day, echoing the intimate relationship man was created to experience. The Lord of grace not only justifies, but also calls His children friends. At the core of man's dilemma lies a fundamental reality, the moral inability to attain righteousness equivalent to God's perfection. This inherent flaw is a consequence of the original sin in the Garden of Eden, and it left human nature fundamentally unrighteous. The standard of righteousness required by God is unattainable by human efforts alone, and thus requires divine intervention. This moral inability not only affects the unredeemed, but it extends to the believer. Contrary to the misconception that faith in Christ eradicates this struggle, the truth is that the redeemed continue to grapple with the residue of sin's influence. This acknowledgement of the ongoing struggle with sin is not an admission of defeat, oh no, but a recognition of our human condition. Christianity is not designed to be a self-sufficient, self-reliant system of morality. Self-salvation is an impossibility. The nature of the believer makes this so. Instead, it's a transformative journey in grace that continually points to the insufficiency of your efforts and the absolute need for reliance on Christ. This reliance is not a one-time event, but it's daily, moment by moment, a recognition of one's insufficiency and an unwavering trust in the sufficiency of Jesus. You see, righteousness is unattainable, my friend, and the pursuit of holiness requires a constant faith in the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within. It's humbling to know that you and I are not able to be holy, much less righteous in God's eyes. But again, this is not bad news. It's the way to true life in Christ and the reality of His life in us. This impossibility is not intended to evoke despair, but to redirect your gaze toward a Savior who bridges the gap between the unattainable divine standard and your inherent moral depravity. It echoes the scriptural truth in Isaiah 64:6, where even our most righteous deeds are likened to filthy rags in the sight of God, a stark realization that salvation cannot be a product of human achievement. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 articulates this truth. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Here the impossibility of self-salvation is contrasted with the unmerited favor of God, grace. It's a divine gift that stands in stark contrast to your futile attempts of self-justification through your human works. And so you see, understanding the impossibility of self-salvation is imperative if you are to be assured of your salvation. Any degree of thinking that you bear responsibility to keep your soul safe in God's favor will either result in a lack of assurance or the pride of the worst kind. How egregious to think that you could pull off a level of righteousness that equals God's righteousness. Most true Christians who struggle to be assured do so because they carry the burden of striving for this unattainable righteousness and they refuse to rest in a Savior who freely extends this kind of righteousness to them. This, in turn, becomes the source of true and biblical assurance, this gift of His righteousness. So, let's talk about justification and the pardon of sin. And I want to direct your attention to Paul's epistle to the Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, and why it's such a big deal when it comes to the concept of justification, especially when seeking reconciliation with God. Here's what Paul said. "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Imagine having a neatly listed record of all the wrong things you've done. Now think of justification as the ultimate eraser that wipes away that entire list, a clean slate, if you will. To break it down further, consider a scenario where you owe this massive debt because of all of your mistakes, and it seems impossible to pay it off. Instead of merely canceling the debt and letting you off the hook, justification steps in and completely removes that debt. It's not just a legal transaction. Oh, no. It's a fresh start, a genuine renewal. Now, let's compare this to a governor pardoning a criminal. While it's a merciful act, it doesn't inherently change the person on the inside. The individual may still grapple with the same issues that led to trouble initially. However, justification offers forgiveness, but it's coupled with another work of God that brings about a transformation from within, a spiritual rejuvenation. That work of God is regeneration. You see, you never receive justification without having first received regeneration. Regeneration is the removal of the old control center and the giving of a new center. It's called the heart. When Paul discusses justification in Colossians, he's not using fancy words just for the sake of it. No, he conveys the profound idea that thanks to what Jesus accomplished, we receive a complete pardon. It's not merely about external fixes. It's about a fundamental change internally. Paul says that Christ has made us alive together with Him. And that, my friend, is regeneration. And after that, He declares you not guilty and righteous. Visualize all your sins being wiped away, providing you with an opportunity to commence afresh in your relationship with God. That's the power and the beauty of justification. Ah, but there's even more. Let's examine chapter 4 of Romans and verse 6, and let's unpack why it's such a game changer in understanding justification as the gift of righteousness for the sake of your assurance. In Romans 4, 6, Paul talks about justification being a gift. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Imagine someone giving you a gift. It's not something you earned or worked for. It's just given to you because the giver wants you to have it. Now replace that gift with righteousness. Not just any righteousness, but the kind that comes from Christ, perfect, flawless. Picture it like this. You had this long list of wrongs, and instead of ticking off each offense, God says, "No, I'm not counting these against you." That's the refusal to impute sins to your standing, a clean slate, a fresh start. But it doesn't stop there. It goes further. Now think about Christ's perfect obedience. It's like having this treasure chest of all His right actions, His perfect choices, His flawless obedience, and God takes that treasure chest and hands it to you. He dresses you with the robe of Christ's righteousness. You're not only forgiven, you're adorned with the very goodness and perfection of Jesus. It's a makeover of your spiritual identity. To simplify, It's like taking your entire wardrobe and giving you a completely new one, and we're not just talking about the finest attire. We're talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this isn't a temporary fix. Oh, no, it's an eternal gift. So when Romans 4:6 talks about justification as the gift of righteousness, it's not just tossing around theological terms. It's unveiling a profound truth. God's grace is not just about letting bygones be bygones. It's about your eternal standing with God. It's a gift that transforms your identity, transforming you from a criminal to a child. And for all the ceaseless ages to come, God is your heavenly Father. Ah, enduring grace. Let's unpack that for a moment. In Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, we read about this transformed identity and the enduring grace that preserves our identity. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved by His life. Imagine this. For all of your life before you became a Christian, you rebelled against God. Now, Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 steps in and says, even when you were God's enemy, Christ's sacrifice made everything right. You were accepted, not rejected. It's like being welcomed back with open arms, even when you expect to be turned away. Now, Ephesians 1:6 adds another layer highlighting that God's grace isn't just a one-time acceptance. It's enduring. Even when we sin as children and rebel, our justification remains intact to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. It's not a, well, you messed up too many times kind of deal. Even in your deepest rebellion, God's acceptance stands firm. It's a grace so deep that it goes beyond human understanding. Again, let me illustrate. When you've hit rock bottom in your most rebellious moment, God doesn't turn His back on you. Instead, His hand keeps reaching out in acceptance. It's not a conditional acceptance that fades away when things get tough. It's enduring grace. In your darkest hours, when you feel farthest from God, His hand is not turned away. It's extended, offering acceptance. So when we talk about justification as God's acceptance of Christ given to the sinner, it's not just theological jargon. It's an invitation to fathom a grace that endures through rebellion. A love that stands unshaken in the face of our worst moments. It's a narrative of acceptance that transcends human comprehension, reminding us that even at our lowest, God's hand is there extended in enduring grace. And my friend, this is the gospel. And that's what must be the objective of your faith. This is the very truth you must fight to believe, and if you do, assurance will follow. Well, that about wraps it up our time today, but before I leave you, I want to let you know that you can now order my book, The Fight of Faith, How a Christian Can Experience Assurance of Salvation, on Amazon. And starting today, you can get a copy of the ebook from Amazon for free. That's right, for free. We're making this offer available for 5 days only. If you've already received the paperback version, please go ahead and download the ebook for your phone or tablet. You can go to our website, Real Truth Matters, in order to order the book, and it'll redirect you to Amazon, or you can go straight to Amazon. And if you're a Prime Amazon member, you can get free shipping. And if you do order it, please, would you leave a review on Amazon and tell how the book has impacted you? Reviews are the single largest way a book can rank on Amazon, which means Amazon will promote the book on its site so others can find it and avail themselves of the benefit you received from the book. A comparison would be if you walked into a bookstore and a book was on a display table as you entered versus back in the warehouse, not yet on the shelf. The more positive reviews a book has, the more likely Amazon will display the book so others can find it. And while you're at our website, don't forget to sign up for our new free ebook, Hearing Heaven: How to Hear God When You Read Your Bible. I've written this book to help you to discover how to read your Bible and actually experience the Lord communicating with you through the Bible. This podcast is all about biblical spirituality, helping you to see how truth intersects with life and is the basis of experiencing the fellowship of God. On behalf of all of us here at Real Truth Matters, thank you for listening today. And may the Lord bless you with His love in a real and tangible way.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Truth Matters podcast. I hope you can see that Christianity is profoundly experiential, but always based on the objective truth of Scripture. If you have questions or comments, please send them to our email address, web@realtruthmatters.com. That's web@realtruthmatters.com. Real Truth Matters Podcast, dedicated to biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect.